Right, Alan is on the door. Let's open it up and bring in Mr. Rob Brydon, who's been waiting patiently in the live lounge cells. Here he is, look! Hello. Rob Brydon!
Hello.
Hi, Rob!
Hi. Hi, Chris!
Hi, Rob.
How are you doing?
I'm good, how
are
you?
Great to see you.
Hello.
Hello, good Hello. Morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
I'm always a bit nervous around you, Rob.
You're always nervous around me? Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
I pose no threat.
I don't know what you think of me, and it nerves me.
Seriously?
It unnerves me.
You're king of the world. You've got nothing to be nervous about.
No, I know, but I don't know. I always think that you look at me and go, That's what I always think.
No, I look at you and I go, oh, Lord, how does he do it? That's what I look at you and do.
What, how do I get this physique?
How do you...
That's obvious.
But you do work out. I've seen pictures of you. You're always in the park and you're always being... You've got a trainer with you all the time and you're looking good.
Well, thank you. But it looks like you're reading Heat magazine from the year 2002.
I see it at the dentist.
No, I'm trying. Well, we had a picture of the last time you were in on the show of you and me together.
Yeah.
And I look like a different person.
That was 4 years ago, wasn't it?
There, look at that. Look at that beautiful thing.
Oh, you look... Yeah, you look
younger.
Aspiring is how you look there.
Is it really?
You do. You look aspiring.
I look fat.
No, you don't.
And as if there's something wrong with me.
What? Shall we turn this into a Dr. Phil show where I help you through your issues?
I would love that.
You know, the greatest indicator of future behavior is past behavior.
Wow.
That's what he says, and I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Did he really say that? Or
yeah,
did
no, seriously. No, seriously, he says that. He says that if you... He always says... they say, you know, I really want my husband to change. I want him to change. Okay, well, you know what I say? Greatest indicator of future behavior... Past behavior.
What does that mean?
What it means is no hope for anyone.
Right. Sure.
Look at the past, you look at the future.
Yeah. What he's saying is people don't really change unless they want to change from the inside. Mm. You can't change someone else.
Right. But if I want to be thin and buff and muscly and handsome...
Do you want to be that?
Who doesn't?
Well, I think some people are happy in their skin, aren't they?
No, they're not. And everybody wants to look like somebody else. So if I look at my past... When I used to eat pizza for breakfast, so if I went to the future, I look, then I'm thinking, well, hang on, the past then becomes the future. That's not what I want.
Well, you really want to change?
Well, not dramatically.
No, what's wrong? That's what you are. You are what you are. It's all part of why you're so successful.
You know, I need a little operation here and there. It's fine.
Do you?
Yeah, I needed a reduction.
Have you ever been to see the Gastric Band? They're very good.
I've heard they're amazing live, but I've never. I've always kind of been out of town when they
apparently those things really work.
Yeah, no, I don't want any of that business.
Well, how much do you really want to change?
A little bit.
Yeah, but like not enough for the gastric
band. Well, no, I'd like to change, but without the hassle of and the effort.
But don't you think, though? I think sometimes when people change, it takes them, like, in a big way, you know, if it's weight or appearance, it takes away from what they are, you know? I mean, you are, that's do you know, I didn't think we'd be having this
discussion. Neither did I.
Very
honest.
I didn't
see that. But it's nice.
It's lovely.
See, I feel like we're bonding.
Well, I think we get on fine, don't we? I've come on your TV show, we had a laugh.
No, I know, don't get defensive about it. There's no, you know, I'm not asking, you know, to go out for dinner. But I'm free Monday.
Do you know Garfunkel's in Leicester Square?
Beautiful.
7 o'clock tonight.
Can you get a table there?
Yes, I think I could.
Is that the place? They do booths, don't they?
They do booths.
Yeah, I like a booth. I like
do you
a
know
booth.
What I think the height of opulence is a booth when there's only two of you.
Yes. And you can just, and you can put your coat on the other seat in the booth.
Yeah, and you go
can
in
spread
and there's
out.
Only two of you. And the person comes along and they say, where do you want to go? I can have a booth, please. And they look at you as if to say, well, hang on, that's really for four people.
And there's only two of you.
No. I want to be treated like Elvis. I want a booth for two
Can I just
people.
Say, I was in a booth the other night with just one other person. To two of us.
Were you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Eh?
You're living the dream.
Mm. It wasn't very busy, though, to be fair. I think if you ask and they're quiet, they go, yeah, sure. Anyway, let's talk about you. Why are you going on about me, Rob?
Because I love you.
All right.
And that's why I've come here today to tell you that.
Oh. There's lots of things we need to talk to you about.
Yeah. Lots of things we need to address.
Yes, we do. The Rob Brydon Show starts Friday on BBC Two at 10 PM.
That's right.
Now, the Rob Brydon Show, as far as I'm concerned, you don't need to know anymore, but I will tell you.
It's all there, isn't it?
Yeah. I would imagine the Rob Brydon Show to me would say a mixture of chat...
Yeah.
Stand-up and music.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you, once again, have put your finger... I'm not going to say which finger. You've put your finger on the button.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that.
You've hit the nail On the head?
With my finger?
With your finger. You don't even use it. You don't even noose?
Sure.
You don't even noose a hammer.
Is that a Welsh word?
It's a cross between need and use.
Right, I like that.
Noose. I like noose.
Now with the news. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is.
Have you done it already? Have you filmed everything already?
Yeah, we did it in July. Yeah.
Okay.
And a Christmas special.
Really?
Yeah.
You did.
Which wasn't strange. People say, oh, it must be very odd. Doing a it's no more odd to me than doing any show.
Right.
Because the whole thing is odd, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So there we were saying, Merry Christmas, Alice Cooper, because he was on it. and it felt great.
Did it feel like Christmas?
Yes.
And then you come off and you go, oh, no, it's not. It's July.
Yeah, it was really hot. It was when the weather was hot. It did feel like Christmas. Because if you've got fake snow and you're dressed as an elf, as I was, then you're going to feel Christmassy.
You don't need Christmas to dress as an elf. You can do that any time of year.
You've heard about that,
yeah,
you?
Knock yourself out. Just go mad for it.
Those photographs are photoshopped, I should say.
You've got a hell of a lineup on the show, which I think is a testament to what a nice guy and talented guy you are.
Well, that's very kind of you. I am very proud of the guests. Yeah.
You have a good booker and pay well. It's one or the other, but
it's not that.
Or both.
It's definitely not the paying well. How much?
So who's on the first show?
First show is David Walliams.
Beautiful.
And Tom Jones.
Oh.
And we also have comedy from Tom Deacon. Every week we have a sort of relatively new comedian that's sort of just on the up. We've got some people like Tom Deacon, people are quite excited about, and Daniel Sloss is on
Tom
a
works
later
here.
One.
Tom is of this parish.
Oh, is he?
He's got his own show.
Oh, he's very funny. Very funny. I can still remember lots of his lines from when we did it. Stinky Chat being one of them that made me laugh.
I should look forward to that.
So we David and Tom Jones on the first one. The second one is James Corden and Mark Ronson.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, is that's Ronson before he dyed his hair?
No, he came with the blonde hair.
Oh, what a fool.
Really?
If that was in July, he had blonde hair, then he came to see us with dark hair and he's gone blonde again.
Well, when was it, July or was it August? It's the beginning of August.
Okay.
Yeah. Then Stephen Fry and C6 Steve.
Nice.
Then we've also got Terry Wogan and Charlene Spiteri.
What a lineup.
And we've also got Ronnie Corbett and Paloma Faith.
How long into the interview with Ronnie Corbett?
I just broke down. I couldn't stop myself.
Were you just straight into doing your impression of Ronnie Corbett?
I can't. You see him. I mean, if I see him.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do to stop. No, it's very difficult not to.
Because you know that Dominic does an impression.
Now listen. Well, the last time I was here, you with Lord Coogan, you played this, or one of you did it, and it sounded like someone having a fit.
Well, Dominic has a very limited repertoire of impressions, of which Ronnie Corbett is one of his three. I think
he's disappeared.
He's in the loo.
Right.
Oh, so we're not going to get. Oh, that's.
Oh, well, we will have him back.
We'll bring him back. Well, unless we all go into the loo now, or we can wait for Dominic to finish.
We should probably wait.
Dab and do up and come back again. So.
Dab and do up.
Well, what you know.
I don't know if I dab.
Sure, you dab.
Sounds like you do it with a blotter, doesn't it?
Dab.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Why are you taking that blotting paper into the toilet with you?
I'm going to go and dab and then do up.
And then do up, sure. I'm looking forward to seeing the show.
Thank you very well. It's on tomorrow, so not long now.
I'll be watching. Do you know what?
What a countdown.
I might even series link it.
See, that's the you can pay a person no greater compliment than to go for the green button.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
But the new box now says when you go to record, it says record once.
Yes.
Or record series.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
I love it. Yeah, it makes life easier, doesn't it?
And then you can also press a blue button, which will keep it.
I haven't kept many things.
Can you keep before you've recorded it?
No.
No, apparently.
But here's the thing. Those boxes often go wrong, and they often have to replace them. This has happened to me about twice now.
Mm. Right.
And you lose everything that's on there.
Yeah, you should back it up to a recordable DVD player.
But nobody does
My life is not that empty.
Get someone to do it for you.
All my episodes of Cash in the Attic saved forever.
Get someone to do it. Hire an assistant, and their job is to just dub off all these shows, like, you know, Jeremy Kyle DVDs or whatever it may be that you like to watch when,
Volume 1.
When you're on tour. I don't know.
I would classify Kyle by subject matter.
Right, okay.
You know, Angry Daughter.
Lovely.
My Mum is My Dad.
Is It My Child?
That's
right. What a show.
Well, I should be watching that.
Thank you.
And I also want to know about the other thing that you've done with Mr. Coogan that you just mentioned.
Yes.
Which is a mockumentary
Not really.
No?
No, okay. No. We did a film. Well, the last time we were here, we were talking about a film called A Cock and Bull Story.
That's right.
In which we sort of played ourselves, basically, making a film. Mm-hmm. This is similar. We play ourselves. The idea is that Steve's been asked to do restaurant reviews for a Sunday paper with his girlfriend in the Lake District. She walks out on him, so he's stuck. So he phones me, and he said, well, will you come instead? So the two of us drive around the Lake District, checking into hotels together and eating meals and bickering and arguing and trying to outdo each other.
Nice.
And it's a series for the BBC that goes out in November. But it's also Michael Winterbottom, who directed it, cut it as a movie. And we've just been in Toronto at the Toronto Film Festival, where it went down like, you know, we were amazed. We got like a standing ovation.
I love
stuff.
That.
So, yeah, imagine how I felt. I was there. It was amazing. We were stood there going, wow, they're standing up. Mm. Are they standing up to leave? No, they're staying standing up, and they're clapping. So it was great. And it's really just us, you know, batting it back and forth.
So you go around different places, eat.
Real restaurants,
chat.
Eating real food.
Right.
I put on 8 pounds in 4 weeks.
Oof.
And that's hard to shift.
Mm. Tell me about it. I know.
Sorry.
Don't tell me about
it. I didn't mean to go.
Why
there,
did
sorry.
You bring that up, girlfriend?
Sorry.
Oof. Alan, get me more cake. That really interests me. I just like, because I think it's one of those things where you go, right, so it's you and Steve driving around eating food and talking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm like, I would watch that.
Well, that's your dream, isn't it?
I think, yeah, I mean, if you...
to go around like this with Rob Brydon, yeah. Yeah.
You could sit in the back with me and Steve. You want to fancy that? We should do that.
Or if you get tired, I'll drive.
Steve drove. Steve drives like Lewis Collins. Drives like this.
What was he driving?
A Range Rover.
No. Oh.
Top of the range. It had about 5 cameras on it. So you can look and see the front, you can see behind you, you can see the side of you. Amazing car.
That's what windows generally were for.
So it didn't have any windows, though.
No windows.
All blacked out all the way around with cardboard, so you do everything via camera.
It's nice that Steve has now got one of those sensible cars rather than a big flash red Ferrari or...
Well, this isn't his real car, you understand?
Oh.
This is... Because it's not real, you know.
That's how he has a big red flash Ferrari still.
I don't know what he's got, actually.
He likes his cars, doesn't he?
He loves his cars, yeah. But the whole thing, though, you know, it was all around the Lake District, which is... You must have been there. I mean, it's beautiful.
I have.
It's like another country, you know, like a little magical kingdom.
It's beautiful.
And we just argue, and I do a lot of impressions, which annoys him hugely.
Do you have any new impressions?
No.
Oh.
My impressions. Everybody always says, oh, you do all these, so many impressions. I go, I do Tom Jones, Michael Caine, Ronnie Corbett. That's about it, really. And it's the same every time. That's what I do.
And obviously you do The Man in a Box.
Yeah, and The Little Small Man in the Box, yes.
Which is, you know... people love it. And I always think that you might be there going, all the work that I've done, all the writing.
You know, there is a slight element that if I just go, where are you? I don't know where you are. Somebody get me out of here. And people go, wah! And I go, it's just a stupid trick. I've got an app. You know, there's an iPhone app, right? And all you do is you put in your phone and you press a button.
Hey there, how are you? Here I am.
You know, and you think, well, okay, why not?
That's amazing.
I'm going to search for that.
It's called Rob Brydon's Small Man in a Box.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
When did you realise?
Oddly enough, yes. We were going to call it Jeff Thatcher's Guide to Gardening, but I don't know, people thought that might send them the wrong way.
Right. Well, no, it's that's perfect. I love that. And you make like 5p off every word or something.
You make 0.6 pence of a percentage of 1 pence every time you hit 3 million sales.
But then, to be fair, it didn't probably take you that much work.
It took me, Chris, a tiny, teeny, I've got a little tiny voice booth in my cellar.
Do you really?
Yeah, so I do voiceovers down
there. Toilet Duck must have paid you some money if you built a booth downstairs.
Chris, you know, there's so much more to me than Toilet Duck.
Well, no,
that was years ago, you know? I mean, I've done so many other products since then.
But that's living when you've got your own booth, because my missus does voiceovers, but she just puts a duvet over her head.
I got a booth in the cellar so I can go down in my pyjamas.
Nice.
And sit there, you know, like the last days of Elvis or Brian Wilson in his sandpit, you know?
Nice.
Notice all my cultural references from about 50 years ago.
That's fine.
So I'm down there like Eminem in his pyjamas or
perfect.
Cheryl Cole in her nightie. And you can just sit down there and say, see, in store for details. Now available in bite-sized packages.
Are you? What are you on at the moment? Are you on anything at the moment?
Am I allowed to say on, on the BBC? I think I'm the voice of SodaStream and Sainsbury's.
Beautiful.
And the train line.
I love the train line. Your work is brilliant. I get my assistant to record all the ads and then burn them onto a DVD for me.
You know what I did on my last tour? I thought it'd be hilarious if I, like, taking the mickey out of myself, I played a lot of these things, you know, saying this is my best work. And it didn't work. People were sat there going, what's he doing? I said, here's one of my best ones. Thinking, I thought it was hilarious. And after about six shows in, it was dropped, and it would never happen again for the rest of the tour.
No, I like it.
I like it too, but audiences didn't.
You could play a little bit of the ad, and then they had to guess the product.
All adverts are basically...
The train line!
No, all adverts are the same, right? An advert is basically this. It's basically... There is an easier way to whatever it is, okay? And then... With the new... Boom, you can... Boom, in... Boom. And then someone will go... the new... Boom. And that's it.
That's very good.
That's all you need to know about advertising.
He's right as well.
That's very true.
I don't do anywhere near as many voiceovers as I should.
That's because you've got an immensely recognisable voice, so straight away. So you can't do a lot of different things because everybody knows it's you.
No, but I can. I'm very versatile.
Go on, then show me.
Well, what do you want me to do?
I want you to advertise a dog food for me.
Okay.
Does it have to start with a dog problem?
Ideally, now.
No, I'm looking for the music.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise we were getting the full Phil Spector. Another cultural reference from 50 years ago. Hang on, I didn't realise we were getting the full Mark Ronson. Yeah.
Do you want me to do it or not? I can't find the appropriate music, really.
What are the options?
This says dog food to me.
It's a dog in a car.
It's not massively...
If your little dog... What's this? Your dog deserves the best. So why not give him dog food?
I can do that.
Go on, then.
Your dog deserves the best. So why not give him dog food?
Now, see, when you do it, it sounds like you're taking the mickey.
No, it doesn't.
When I do it, it sounds like I believe in the dog food. Watch this.
Fine.
Your dog deserves the best, so why not give him the best? I care about the dog.
Yeah, but I'm
You look like you're about to throw the dog into a river.
I don't. I wouldn't do that.
You're like that woman in that thing on YouTube.
No, I wouldn't.
And if there's a wheelie bin nearby, you'll be looking for cats.
Your dog deserves the best.
No.
So give your dog food. What's wrong with that?
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And I think you know it in your heart.
No. Well, give me something else.
All right, give me something else. A lady shave.
Okay. Ladies, too hairy? Well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You've got to... Okay. When downstairs gets out of control, you need lady shave. For your legs, that is, to shave your legs.
Can we do a different topic?
Smooth.
But any ladies product says now containing phenylalanine XN5.
And they have the diagram of those like science blobs.
I used to watch that show, by the way. It was brilliant.
Which one?
Fireball XL5 or whatever.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, really good. No, but I think I have a range of accents that I can do, and I think I can change what?
Film trailer voice is good.
I can do film trailer voice.
I bet you could. You've got a deep voice. Yeah. Let's hear that.
Okay.
Oh.
Dog food.
In a world of danger, one man stands alone. If you like your dog, give it dog food.
No, I think that was very good.
Thank you.
In a world where nothing is sure.
That's right.
You're even lower than me.
I try my best.
I'm going to try and get as low as I can.
I don't think so.
No, I can't.
Hang on, you want to go low? I can help you. You want to go low, Rob?
Taking off his clothes. This is worrying.
I can help you with that drink.
Oh, you're going to do some magic switch?
I'll try my best.
It's like a child in a shop, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, here we go.
Right.
Luke, I am your father.
That's right. From Swansea. Now tell me about dog food, smartass.
If your dog deserves the best, why not give him the best? New Chunky Chunks.
Whoa, I like it. It's nice. Do you want to go lower?
You can't go lower. It's not possible.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Do you move a trailer again?
In a world where nothing is for sure, one man takes a stand against what he believes in. Takes a stand against what he believes in.
Yeah, I don't really know. You also sound like a very kind of miserable dog.
Okay, all right, all right.
Yes, it's for
what
the lady
to me?
For the lady products.
You're feeling a bit rough and stubbly.
I like the general message of the dog food advert, whereby if you like your dog, you give him dog food, which is a basic...
If you're not that keen on your dog, let him
starve.
It's a basic
requirement for living.
Dog getting too fat? Then stop feeding your dog with new no dog food. Yeah.
Do you have a dog?
No.
I'd like a dog. We used to have a dog that lived next door and used to come into our garden. It was perfect because you didn't have to do anything.
That's nice.
You just would come in, pat him, run around with him, and then say, off you go.
Have all the benefits but no responsibility.
And then they moved away. And took the dog with them.
Some people are so selfish.
Miniature Schnauzer.
That was the name of your neighbours?
Miniature Schnauzer. Right. Yeah, there was Mr. Miniature Schnauzer, his daughter, Junior Miniature Schnauzer.
Oh.
And Mrs. Miniature Schnauzer.
I love that. Yeah.
And then he remarried to somebody with the same name, so he became Miniature Schnauzer Schnauzer.
Well, I love that. You know, I'm hurt now that you don't think I have a commercially viable voice.
I never knew how insecure you were. You've always struck me as King of the Hill.
I spend as much money on therapy as I do on burgers.
You're not serious.
No, I'm not. I don't really eat burgers.
But maybe
anymore.
You should. I mean, maybe that's the answer.
I'm good, you know?
All right. Come on, let's love.
Give me something else. What else
let's
do you
love.
Do? Sainsbury's.
Yes, I do some that. Of those, yeah.
Kitchen cupboards bare? Then come to Sainsbury's. It's a big room with loads of food available for you to buy and eat.
See, you sound kind of cheap. You sound like a carpet warehouse. You sound local, I got to tell you that. You sound like a local radio ad for a carpet warehouse with carpets, trees. Trees? What are trees?
Carpet warehouse. We also sell trees.
In Wales, we pronounce curtains... curtains. And years ago I was doing an advert and they said, with great savings on sofas, chairs and curtains. And they said, okay, better do that again then. I went, oh, all right. I went, with great savings on sofas, tables and curtains. And they said, Rob, you said curtains. And I said, yeah. Mm. Well, it's not curtains. What would you say? I would say curtain. Isn't it a curtain? Mm.
Curtain.
Curtain. That's what it should be. Curtain.
Yeah.
I curtains. Never knew. How would you say T-O-O-T-H?
Tooth.
He's writing it
tooth.
Down.
Oh, yeah, tooth.
See, I would say tooth.
Yeah, now, Alad says
and you're wrong.
Hi, Alad. Yeah. It is tooth where
it's
we tough. Come from,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. And ears.
Oh, your ears.
Your ears.
Your what?
Your ears. You hear with your ears.
Your ears?
Your ears.
I see, you got it all wrong. You really...
Well,
you,
I admit, I am wrong on that. And
you
I
Welsh
wrong
are so
curtain.
Wacky. Whose coat is this jacket?
Whose coat is this jacket? Where to are you from?
That's right, yeah.
Where to are you going? Where to are you going, Chris?
I have no idea.
Where to?
I did, I used to make adverts, to cut long story short, and we were making a voice in these adverts for a little radio station as a little sideline business years ago, and we did like a disco shop that sold disco equipment.
God, you don't see those now.
And so it was like turntables and disco lights and... And styli, which
yes,
I believe is plural for stylus. Mm-hmm. And the guy who we made the adverts for went, what's styli? And I went, you know, stylus. What is it? Well, you know, the stylus on the record, yeah? They sell them, so we wrote styli. Styluses. Sometimes it's not stylus, it's actually styli. Yeah, but Alice doesn't know what that is. Can you redo it and say styluses?
Oh, no.
So we did. We went and grammatically ruined this advert.
Mm.
Turntables, lights, styluses.
What sort of lights were they? They'd be rope lights, wouldn't they?
They did rope lights.
Remember rope
they
lights?
Did traffic lights.
Yes, of course.
You know, light boxes in all colours. What's wrong with that?
I used to want to be a mobile DJ. For a while, that was my ambition, to be the kind of DJ that would do weddings and things.
Well, you'd be great.
I even sent off for a book, this is true, in the post, called How to Be a DJ. I really did. That was my dream, and I used to look at catalogues of... You know, the double decks, right. You know, the two record decks and the mixer in the middle. I used to think, oh, one day when I can afford this, this is what I'll buy and I'll be on the road being a DJ. And it never happened.
I see another series. BBC Two getting giddy. Why don't you do that?
Oh, well, like a reality thing where I go out doing weddings.
Yes.
I'd be very happy as a wedding singer. I think I'd be very happy doing that.
Well, why don't you and Coogan double up? He can do the DJing, you can do the singing. I see, it's a hit.
It's another show there, yeah. I think you're right. No, there's two series. Let's not do everything at once.
Okay, right.
One series is the DJ, the next series is the wedding singer.
The world of the mobile DJ would be fascinating, though. You need a van with your name written on the side of it as well.
It's just all the humping of the equipment in and out of the venue. I wouldn't like that. But
what you do is you get a young assistant to do that for you who wants to learn how to be a mobile DJ.
Wants to learn how to carry equipment.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, for a short while.
Really?
I used to learn, and this fellow would teach me by telling me to carry the speakers out the back of the van.
Yeah, and now you host the Radio 1 breakfast show. So maybe that man was actually a kind of Yoda-like figure who knew that you were destined for great things.
But he used to DJ in a church hall and drive around in an old transit.
Oh, dear. No. Right. Okay, what was his name?
Keith.
Perfect.
He also... he didn't have a headphone to listen to the next track to queue it up. He had a phone, an old telephone.
Mm. I remember people used to do that. I remember that. Yes, and they would hold... Yes! I've forgotten that. Yeah,
a telephone handset.
You know the old phones where you pick it up and dial.
Yeah.
So the handset.
Yeah.
You would have a wire on it that would plug in, and that's how you would hear your song when you're queuing it up.
Why no headphones?
Well, granted, it made no sense.
But they all did it though.
It was the way. You've got to trust us. This is how it went. Now, when I was about 15, when I was about to do my O levels, GCSEs, I used to work in this nightclub in Port Talbot called the Troubadour. It was like a disco, and I used to work in the bar at the weekend. And the DJ there was on a raised platform, and then there was the traditional dance floor, and he could control all the not just the flashing lights but the normal lights, and there would be fights every weekend. There'd be fights, and what he would do, he'd be up there and be playing Level 42 or Casey and the Sunshine Band, stuff like this, you know, Mark King, and a fight would break out, and Roger, the DJ, that was his name, Roger, he would see where the fight was, and he would very coolly just point to where the fight was so the bouncers could see, press the button, and the lights would come on directly over the fight.
Wow.
And everybody would carry on dancing, and I'd be there looking really scared, you know, and these bouncers would beat the hell out of these people, you know, and throw them back out to the club. Oh, it was brilliant. Plastic cups they had in that club as well. No glass, plastic cups and glasses.
It sounds like a really nice place.
It was like the cantina in Star Wars.
Again, this is another series.
What is this?
You go back and work there again. Brilliant.
Oh, Lord. Can you find me a series I didn't like to do that I would enjoy doing?
This Rob Brydon's Top 10 Most Beautiful Beaches of the World.
Nice, I like it.
Rob Brydon's Guide to First Class Air Travel.
Yes.
Rob Brydon counts money in the Bahamas.
Counts his own. It would have to be. I don't want to go counting someone else's money. Right. Where's the appeal in that?
You get it. Once you've counted it, if I get it right, I keep it.
Mm. Imagine that. And people are trying to distract me.
What a great game.
Celebrities are trying to distract me. So Peter Andre's that said, oh, mate, come on, let's get down to the pool and just chill out for a while, mate.
Where's he from?
He's from Dagenham.
Right.
I was on Jonathan Ross once with him and Katie Price, and she said to John, she said, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that we're Z-list celebrities? And Peter said, because he's a sweet man, he said, at least we're on a list.
Oh, bless him.
He's too nice, though, isn't he?
Oh, he's lovely, isn't he?
What did he say one more time? At least we're on a list. Wow, mysterious girl. Want to lie next to you?
I said, I tell you what, Ross. Ever since coming out of here from Brizzy in Australia, I've really landed on my feet. And I'm looking forward to it.
My accent, by the way, is a complete mixture of Cyprus and Australia. This is what you get.
Cyprus.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he's Cypriot. Yeah, Greek Cypriot.
Is he? Greek Cypriot.
Yeah.
Oh. Nice guy.
He is, isn't he? Harmless, I believe the word is.
Harmless?
Yeah.
Oh, you'd never want to be called harmless, would you?
Well, I'm not, no.
You're not.
I dream of being called harmless. If there was one word that people would shout out of a van as I walked down the street and they were driving by, I would take harmless
what
over
what do they shout at you? Bear in mind that we're still here. No. Do you get a lot of that? Do you get a lot of people shouting at you?
Do you know what? I get, weirdly, like, I get Mulder!
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get abuse?
Not really. No, why are you looking at me like that?
I think you do.
Mulder, you fat...
Oh, steady.
I was on the phone to somebody the other day. I was in Leeds the other week, and I was on the phone. I met this guy, and he said, will you speak to him? His sister was climbing Kilimanjaro. Would you speak to her? I was here. So I went outside, and I'm chatting with her. I said, listen, and as I'm going, it's really tough. The climb to the summit is really tough. But honestly, if you focused on getting there, you'll do it. And it's such an amazing thing. You're doing it for charity. Yeah, I'm trying to raise money. I said, you know, it's really good of you. And it's such an achievement. And as I'm saying it, a fella goes by the car, just goes, Mosey, you fat! At the top of his voice. And I'm like, thank you. But as I was saying, it's such an achievement. She goes, is that someone shouting you? Like, it's fine.
It was nothing, just interference.
Don't worry about
it. It's the TV.
Yeah, he said, he's just an old friend.
I get people who shout out names of shows I'm in, so I get people go past and go, Kevin and Stacey! Which makes you wonder if Jeremy Paxman gets Newsnight Review!
Excuse me. Anyway, look, we could chat all day, but...
I'd love to.
Well, let's do that.
That sounded insincere. It really wasn't meant to be. I mean, you know, this is great.
And you question why I'm confused. I would love to, Chris. Nothing would give me more pleasure.
We need a bit of special time together,
I think.
There's a show there. Yeah. Rob and Chris.
Hello.
Sort out their differences.
I'll phone BBC Two now.
BBC Two, ITV Four.
Give over.
Come on. ITV Four plus one. That's where I see us.
You could both be mobile DJs. Going round the Lake District.
We could be rival mobile DJs. No,
Chris Moyles and Rob Brydon come from different ends of the spectrum. How will they get on if forced to spend time together under one roof?
I need Come On Eileen! Where's Come On Eileen? Rob! You've missed the moment!
That's a nice idea for a show.
What mix is this? Why you play the 12-inch?
If you want to vote off Rob, press your red button now. If you want to keep Chris, press your red button now.
And there's only two of them.
Yes.
You have a big vote and there's only two of them there anyway.
I think Rob's played a blinder this week. I think he really has. In the first challenge he had to do with Chris, I thought he handled it really well. It's a shame when Chris lost his temper that time. So who do you think is going to win at the end of the programme? I've got to give it to Rob at the moment, but you never know with Chris. You can never write him off. And then as someone says that in the background, Moyles, you fan!
Well, do you know what? I think we should do this. Mm. I think we should absolutely do it. This is our future.
All right. You and me together.
Look at that. I love that.
Amazing.
I want to make it right now.
Mm. Now it's gone a bit silent, but it's not awkward. It's poignant.
I'm contemplating it.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll just finish it off with a, Miles, you fat... By the way, if you see Rob Brydon today, feel free to shout at him.
Oh, no, don't say that. No.
I'm Miles, you fat... And then you can give them a little wave and go,
Okay, thank you very much.
Equally, if you see me today, feel free to go, go in and stay safe! Actually, no, don't, because then that people often think I'm James Corden.
By the way, Chris, you're very good at doing that swearing thing on the radio and not doing it. But remember, there's cameras.
Oh, but I didn't have anything.
It looked like you had.
No, I'll stay. He did not do a hand gesture. I will stand up in court and defend you.
It wasn't.
Yeah, go on, Alan. Off. Tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, BBC Two is the Rob Brydon Show, featuring the one and only Mr. Rob Brydon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hell, before you go.
Yeah.
We were going to play this clip later, but I might as well play it now, which is Ken Bruce yesterday.
Yeah,
already.
I heard this.
I haven't heard this yet.
This is great. You're going to love it.
So this is Ken doing his...
Pop quiz.
Pop quiz.
Pop Masters.
Pop Master. Which you have been on.
Yeah, I've been on Ken Bruce Show playing Pop Master. Beverly Craven, woman to woman. Or as I like to think of it, girl on girl.
So this is Ken Bruce Show from yesterday from Radio 2.
Pop Master with Ken Bruce on BBC Radio 2.
And this time it's Gladys Redley from Spalding in Lincolnshire. Morning, Gladys.
Good morning, Ken.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you. A little nervous, but very well.
Good. Well, we'll try and keep you on the straight and narrow all the way through it. Tell me about yourself. What do you do? What have you done?
Oh, I'm retired, Ken. I don't do a lot these days, really. Just sit around and do a little bit of knitting and play around with my daughter. Do a little bit of hang gliding. And parachuting, but apart from that's really about it. Really, but it's quite quiet.
Do I get the slight impression you're taking the mic all here?
No, not at all. No. I had this conversation with one of your researchers. I've done two or three jumps. One of them a tandem jump, and the last two I did were by myself.
Well, it's hilarious, but I think, tell you what, we're going to actually get a real contestant on. All the best.
Oh. You don't mess with him, do you?
He's savage.
Do you? I mean, that, wow. he was taking no nonsense there.
He was right.
He cut him to the quick.
Do you know what? Let's hope he was right. Otherwise, that poor woman who's hang glides and knits.
Oh, but I no, you can tell. That's somebody.
That's someone's mother.
No, it's
Rob,
not.
It's someone's father.
That is either a student putting together a demo tape of pranks, or it's a creatively bereft person at Channel 4 in the final stages of their edit, thinking we need one more little bit of mischief. Let's do this.
Do you know what, though? The scary thing is that the caller goes, no, when I spoke to one of your researchers, which, I tell you what, and it got through. Is this a joke? No. I've been hang gliding and I knit. Okay, fine. You're on tomorrow.
I'd like to hear the conversation that was had later with the researcher.
Well, Ken, she sounded fine to me.
She knits and hand glides. Did you not hear her? I think you were very rude.
Ken, you got to believe me. On the phone, she sounded real. Please, Ken, please. I need this job. Ken, please. No, sorry, you've displeased me. And as a result of that, you will pay the ultimate sacrifice. Down on your knees now. Right, down you go. Take out the sword. Here we go. Ken Bruce here, decapitating you. Live on air. Goodbye. You no longer work for the... The BBC has issued a statement after Ken Bruce today decapitated one of his own researchers. Terry Wogan was reached for comment. Oh, old Ken, you don't want to rub him up the wrong way. All Ken, the impressions come out in the
end. I was about to say, as Ronnie Corbett was passing, he chimed in.
Muttley appeared. 50 years ago.
Oh, Rob, lovely to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Chris.
Have you got a day of this now?
No, I'm all done. Today is a lovely day. We're going to have a little mooch around the West End, go shopping.
Oh, nice.
My wife's in. It was her birthday yesterday, so we stayed in a mid-range West End hotel.
I like that.
You know.
Garfunkel's.
Watch the pennies. Who knows? Maybe. A booth. I'll be wanting a booth wherever I go.
Well, good.
Book a booth.
Book a booth. Book
well,
a booth.
Rob Brydon show booth tomorrow.
Booth? Book a booth. Oh, that booth? Could be a Sky Arts programme, couldn't
there
it?
There you go.
Booth. Book a booth with Mariella Frostrup. Salman, tell me, you've been... Anyway, it's been lovely to be here.
Mariella Frostrup is currently doing a new show on
BBC. It's fantastic. I love it. Did you watch it?
I caught it the other night.
I loved it.
It took me half an hour to work out exactly what was going on because I missed the beginning.
It's great. It's really good. The old people, they put them... Don't laugh. Old people, they put them in a house decorated as it would have been in their heyday.
Yeah.
And it's about making them younger again. And they came out, their eyesight had improved. You work that out. You laugh at it now. 40 years from now, it'll be Chris Moyles makes his way with the aid of his frame into the house. We'll all be there. It's
I'll
the
be
natural
64.
Cycle. Oh, you are young, aren't you? All right. 300 years from now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rob Brydon, one more time. Rob Brydon. Yeah. Rob Brydon. Available for voiceover work. Alan!
Coming up today on BBC Radio 1.